Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
We are in the midst of a series called Foundations for Life. This particular text is greatly debated, and I will make that plain to you and express to you what I believe it's saying to us. You can go so deep into things that you drowned, and we never want to do that. But we do want to communicate very clearly to you, adding yet another foundation stone for your life. Because Jesus said, if you build on the sand, when the storm comes, your house will be, you know, great will the fall of it, he says. But if you build on the rock, come on, someone say the rock. The rock. And he's talking about the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain, will endure forever. And so if you don't learn to build your life, as Pastor Karen said, on God's word, the bedrock of God's word, the blessed life is found by obeying and living God's word. It's not a bunch of fables and fairy tales. It's the living word of God. And it will change your life. And so in this series, and all of the messages are available on YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, and other platforms. Facebook, did I say that? Yes. And we have a stream that's available, kingsalaska.com. If you ever find that we're no longer broadcasting on YouTube and Facebook, it's been because we've said things that they don't like us to say that we'd like to say a lot. So then you might find us over on our webpage, and they currently can't take that down. How many of you glad that God's word goes forth and doesn't return void? So this series will help you, and again, an introduction before we read Genesis chapter 6, 1 through 8. The messages are designed to give you truth, and if you don't understand the truths found in the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, you will not understand who God really is, and your theology will be skewed. All of the New Testament is based upon the foundation of what I'm teaching you, and if you miss it, you will be building on sand, or partial sand, should I say it that way. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. New International Version, if you're all there, say, woohoo! Very good. When human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of humans were beautiful and they married them or took them, any they chose. Verse 3. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and every inclination and thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. Verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Father, before you we stand, your church, your bride, the people of your pasture. And we're in need of revelation, God, today that causes even a revolution in our own hearts. I pray today that you would peel back the veneer, you'd peel back the covering that the God of this age, the enemy of our souls, has placed upon this world and this life, and that you would expose wickedness even in our own heart. That you would expose evil and that you would have your way today and that we would be forever changed and transformed. Let every man, every woman, every child be brought low and you be glorified, you be magnified. Oh God, release all that's in your heart towards us, this morning in Jesus' name, and we'll give you praise and honor. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Again, what does this text mean? There are numerous interpretations, and I am going to give you two of them. If you read conservative commentaries, you'll find an interpretation that the sons of Seth, that's the godly line, the sons of Seth, their children marry, or the sons of Seth, godly line being the sons of God, marry the sons or daughters of Cain. And the two being brought together is so grievous to the Lord that he brings a flood and starts over. How many of you know that God can start over? So that's one interpretation, two basic interpretations. One, the godly line, the line of Seth, marry the ungodly line, the line of Cain. And some have suggested that's what that means. The other interpretation is the one that I ascribe to, and I will back it with New Testament scripture this morning, this afternoon now, that sons of God means angels or fallen angels. Sons of God mate with humans, with women. And the offspring that brings forth is so heinous and so horrible that God says, we cannot allow this. And he brings a flood. And that is what I ascribe to, and will teach that to you. Look at the obvious right in your notes now. And if you don't have notes, go ahead, lift your hand, and they'll bring that to you. You might want to preach this to somebody else. A look at the obvious. It is true that mixed marriages are wrong. And when I say mixed marriages, I'm certainly not talking in this day and age about cultural mix. My beautiful daughter, Hannah, is engaged to marry a beautiful black man, for which we're excited. And they're on right now. Love you deeply. Praise the Lord. In the New Testament application, it would mean to marry an unbeliever. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, to be unequally yoked is the picture here for the New Testament believer. To be unequally yoked is wrong. And I've known people that they're on fire loving Jesus and just decide to do some missionary dating, end up getting married, and woefully regret it as the next 10, 15, and 20 years are in marriage counseling because they married someone they hoped to convert. That's a bad idea. Terrible idea. But all of Israel's history, there's this clear directive from God that you should not mix faith. He never talks about skin color. There's prejudice you see in Scripture clearly. Moses' wife was a Cushite, and they did not like her. Cushites were black. They were racist. And there were racists in the first century church too. If you're a racist, you will not inherit the kingdom. Can I just say that? Is that all right? If it's not, I'm going to say more stuff that you don't like. But it's hard to imagine that a mixture of faith being unequally yoked, the Seth line and the Cain line, would precipitate total destruction for all of humanity. I mean, like, Lord, that's a little over the top, isn't it? Far be it for me to say what's over the top for the Lord or not, but it just seems not as merciful, perhaps, as he's been even towards us. Sons of God, now talking about the second basic definition of this text, of which, again, it is widely debated. And I can only bring to you and teach to you what I know to be true or believe to be true, and I stand before a holy God when it's all said and done to give an account for how I've taught you. And many people just skip this text altogether, but it shows something that is a foundation block that I don't want you to miss. And I'll stand before that, and you'd study to show yourself approved, but I don't believe it's the godly line mixing with the ungodly line. I don't believe it's an unequally yoked thing. I believe actually that fallen angels take daughters from the human race and marry them. Sons of God is often referred to as angels, many scriptures for that. Sons of God is another term. The sons of God is another name for angels. Not always, but mostly. and many scriptures for that. You say, well, Pastor, what about Jesus when he said in Matthew 22, exactly, let me read it to you, Matthew 22, verse 30, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. So he's saying that angels of God in heaven aren't married. They're like the angels of God in heaven. In other words, there's no male, there's no female, there's no marriage. But these angels are not in heaven. And thank God, according to scripture, they're not in the earth either. Can somebody ought to shout hallelujah? Can you imagine? Go to the book of Jude. One chapter, verse 6, I'll read it to you. They'll put it on the screen. Listen to this profound text. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their proper dwelling. Let's stop. You look in Isaiah chapter 14 and as well as in Ezekiel, you'll see this Lucifer, the son of the morning, says in his heart, I'll become like the Most High. I'll ascend to the sides of the north. It's a picture of the rebellion that takes place in heaven. And the outcome of that is Lucifer, meaning son of the morning, is cast down to the earth. And you can read in the book of Revelation about him also. It appears in the King James, it says he's filled with pipes and timbrels. The New International Version doesn't do a very good job, but it appears that Satan was the funnel or the creator or the leader of worship in heaven. And it's not unusual then to understand, if that's the case, scripturally, that the enemy would also use music and rhythms and beats to pervert people and pull them aside. It's amazing what music does. Amazing. And so he's cast down to the earth. And he rages, New Testament, like a roaring lion and seeking whom he may devour. So if you look here, when he fell or when he was cast out of heaven, he took a third of innumerable. How many is that? Well, innumerable is more than you can number, and he took a third of those. So I guess God can number them, but Satan fell with a third. Those are considered to be, by most, demons, fallen angels. And it appears in this text and Jude, as I'm about to read to you, there's a particular group of fallen angels that Genesis 6 is talking about, that Jude is now talking about. They left their proper abode, their proper dwelling. And it says this, these he, talking about God, has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for the judgment day. Watch this now, verse 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns. So when he says, in a similar way, he's beginning to take these particular angels and he likens them or similarly to what took place at Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, what took place in Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, he tells us perversion, sexual immorality and perversion to serve as an example of those who suffer the punishments of eternal fire. So if for a moment you could imagine fallen angels taking wives and having offspring. That would be one ugly baby right there. Somebody say, there's no ugly babies. Yes, this would be the definition of ugly. Evil. Half human, half devil, bent on destroying the human race. And I need to tie it back to say, why would God, why would the God of this age, why would Satan do that? Well, if you go back to Genesis 3, and I preached it to y'all, it's the proto-evangelium, pro meaning first, evangelium, euangelium is the Greek, good news. It's the first time the gospel is preached. The very first time the gospel is preached is right at the fall of mankind, and the seed of the woman will crush the head of Satan or the serpent or the seed of the serpent. So that's kind of fascinating. And if you look through the Old Testament, you see, and even into the New, you see Satan comes to destroy The seed of the woman. And when we read that in Genesis 3, the seed of the woman is singular, talking about the Messiah, talking about Jesus. So right at the fall, God's already got the answer. It's not like he was taken by surprise. He knows everything. And so you see this assassination attempt against humanity here in Genesis 6, but it doesn't stop there. You see David is almost killed by giants, and the offspring could very well be giants, which we'll talk about in a moment. The offspring of this union could very well be giants. But there are also giants referred to as Nephilim. And that's how I'm going to define that for today. And you'll find a lot of information on the internet. And I will tell you, don't go down the rabbit hole. It'll defile you. You'll learn things you don't need to know. I'm going to tell you what you need to know. And at the rest of it, just flush it. Come on, somebody say, flush it. Just take two fingers like that and push the plunger down and flush it, because it'll destroy you. It can destroy you. It can defile you. How do you know? I know. You put things in your mind that you don't need in your mind. The Bible says to be excellent at what is good, innocent of evil. So I'm just giving you a brief look, because it's this assassination attempt that's being played out in humanity now. Wow, go to 2 Peter chapter 2. And this is a tremendous verse of scripture. 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them to be chained in darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah. He's literally tying this scripture. He's saying, he's referring back to Genesis 6. And he's referring to these sons of God in Genesis 6, right here in 2 Peter 2. Are you following me? Bump your neighbor and say, better listen up. But saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing a flood of the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. There again, he ties in perversion, sexual perversion. He ties it into the event of Genesis chapter 6. What's fascinating to me is this word here. We read hell. There's a number of names for hell. When you read hell in the English Bible or whatever version you're using, if it's a good one, you see hell and you just read hell. But here, in the Greek, New Testament is written in Koine Greek. It's not today's Greek. It's different. It's an ancient Greek, a common Greek, really. That word hell is the Greek word Tartarus, not tartar sauce, Tartarus. And it doesn't just mean hell. It's a special place in hell. Apparently, in hell, there are different areas. This is a place separate from the rest of hell where these angels who did what they did are held. And again, aren't you glad they're not roaming the earth? Now, there are those that say they are, but that contradicts this scripture, and so I'm going to say I don't think so. Special place of judgment for a special group of angels. And what was the purpose? To destroy the seed of the woman, to destroy the Adamic seed, to pollute the whole human race. So very simply, to pollute the whole human race so that mankind would be destroyed and not be able to be redeemed. That is the purpose. You say, whoa, that's heavy. I know. Here's what I believe happened. Moving on in your notes, evil grows. Adam, Eve, Cain. And then you see the lineage. Everybody seems to just get darker and darker. I mean, you have some bright, shining lights like Enoch, which we talked about, a man who walked with God. And Enoch and Methuselah and Noah, it's that which has been will be again. There's history in Scripture that is filled with revelation, allegories. And there's a number of different ways to read Scripture. I didn't say this in the first service, but I'm going to say it now. You can read Scripture for pleasure, and I would encourage you to read the Word. And then there's deeper meaning, understanding what the Word of God is saying by through its context and studying it, and it's worthy to give your life to studying the Word. Then there's hidden meanings, allegory, types, and shadows. I just really dig that. I love studying Old Testament shadows and types, seeing it tie into the New Testament that brings revelation. That is my favorite way to preach and to study because it just builds my faith. It's just amazing. Then the scholars, rabbinic scholars, there's a thing called sod, which is a deep revelation. Only God can give you that. I said only God can give you deep revelation. And when you look at this text, you see Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more. And I preached on that the last time I preached, and then he was no more. And he has his son, and his name is Methuselah. What's his name? Methuselah. His name means his death initiates. In actual fact, you could go back next week for last week and look at the 10 generations from Adam to Noah and how in the 10 generations of the Torah, the first 10 generations of the Torah, the first 10 generations of the book there of Genesis paints a picture of salvation and mankind's desperate need for a savior. And in paraphrasing, it says man is appointed mortal sorrow. The blessed God comes down teaching. His death initiates. That's Methuselah. All the names, Adam means man. On and on and on, 10 generations, it makes a sentence. I did it last week. Methuselah means his death initiates. And you have to wonder, why would Enoch name his son his death initiates? Because when he would die, his death would initiate what? The flood. And when he dies, the flood comes. The New Testament application is this. The blessed God came down teaching, demonstrating. His name is Jesus. And basically, man's mortal sorrow, you're going to die, but the blessed God comes down and his death brings peace. That's what Noah means, rest or comfort. It's the gospel. Somebody ought to say, wow, or something. But it's also a picture of the end time church and how the church will live in a place at the time of Noah, so will the days of the coming of the Son of Man be. It'll be like the days of Noah. I'm preaching better than your amen in this morning. And so Noah, I should say Methuselah and Enoch, it's a picture of the rapture, the church. Enoch is a picture of the rapture. There's coming a day when he takes us off of this earth for those who are living for him. And then there'll be, if you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, which we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, I do. I don't know what you believe. Some of God believes that. We're aligned with them doctrinally, 16 fundamental truths. There is those who believe in the middle of the tribulation, the 7 years of tribulation. Those that believe in the middle of the tribulation, the church will be raptured. Then there's those that believe at the end of the tribulation, the church will be raptured. You say, well, I don't know. I'm Pan. It's all going to pan out. I'm with you. I agree. It's all going to pan out. How many of you are glad that God's in control? Okay. You're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. All right. But you will. I said, you will know. So this picture of Enoch going up is a picture of the church going up. And Noah, you know what Noah's a picture of? Noah's a picture of the Jews who were awakened and become evangelists. And there's 144,000 Jewish evangelists in the tribulation that will evangelize the world. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. All right, so evil grows. You see this evil growing, but you see God in the midst of it. And it certainly is true that if you yield to evil, it will grow. You yield to evil, sir, ma'am, it's going to grow. What you feed will grow. You feed your spirit, don't feed your fallen human nature. And so Adam, Eve, Cain, and following, you see evil growing. The sons of Satan's fallen angels attempt to fully corrupt man, as I talked about. And fallen angels did exactly what Eve did. What did Eve do? She saw, it pleased the eye, and she took. It's the same thing that you did last week. Oh, not all of you. My point is, that's how sin entices you. Look at it. ooh, that's shiny. Boy, that's nice. That's not of God. No, it looks good though. And you take it. It's a picture of sin. You'll see that pattern throughout all of Scripture. And mankind makes covenant. That's that word took here in the Hebrew. They took wives. Mankind makes covenant with fallen angels. And so it's not a light thing. Marriage is not a light thing. Marriage is a very serious thing. Your vows, they mean something before God. The world's trying to water it down. But this word took or made wives for themselves is a picture of mankind aligning themselves with demonic beings, seeing themselves basically as new gods in the earth to rule. And that's why the Lord said, oh no, no, we can't do that. Let's start over. That makes more sense to me than marrying an unbeliever. Bring us the judgment of the destruction of the whole world, plus these scriptures that I've read to you. Mankind makes covenant with fallen angels. And the results, again, are demons that are so horrible and so heinous that hate God and would do everything they can to destroy the human race. They're on assignment. Half demon, half human. I don't think about that too long. That's creepy. These are not, as I've studied, and you'll see lots of arguments, but for me, it's not the Nephilim. Because the Nephilim giants, now they might have been giants also, the offspring might have been giants also, but it seems to me that Nephilim are also after the flood. So watch my train of thought. If the angels, according to Jude, are held in this place, and then 2 Peter in a place called Tartarus, you know, they didn't just let them out like they do in California. Did I say that? Not the people in California in jails are not demons. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, God didn't just change his mind and get everybody a get out of jail free card. They're staying in there. I might preach in a second. They're staying in there. They're staying in there until judgment. So they're not released. So it seems to me if these special class of angels are now kept in this place called Tartarus, that they can't get out. But you see giants before the flood, and after the flood you see giants. So how's that? So according to my studies, it seems to me that giantism or giants could very well just be within the human DNA. And we know from the Pulaski River find and different archaeological finds, clearly there's giants that were in the earth. It's clear. They found all kinds of evidence of that. But to say that their offspring were the giants, I don't know that we can say that. No, I believe that they were the heroes. They were the kings, not heroes like we would think, like, yes, a superhero. No, they were these men of renown, men making a name for themselves, ruling demonically, half human, half demon, ruling kings. Can you imagine if you had a king? Can you imagine if you had a king that would rule like that? Well, that's the picture. But the Nephilim in Numbers 13, verse 33, we saw the Nephilim there. So if the purpose was to defeat and wipe out the Nephilim, I'm pretty sure the Lord would have wiped them all out. That's my logic. God's judgment comes. He gives 120 years to repent. So he limits age. After 120 years, you're all going to die. That's basically what he's saying. Why would he do that? It's a picture of God's mercy also. Can you imagine if these beings or someone who's evil would live for hundreds of years? I've said it just recently, but can you imagine if a Hitler, a Stalin, a Mussolini, can you imagine if they would live for hundreds of years destroying mankind? It's God's mercy that we die even. Some people need to die. Of course, we don't know who they are. We pray for everybody to get saved. Can you say amen? The destruction of all mankind takes place. So it makes sense to me that way. That it wasn't just a mixture of religion that bothered God. No, it was the polluting of the entire human race and the potential destruction of the Adamic seed and a destroying of the Messiah, which Satan tries to do all through the Old Testament, even in the New, the destruction of the innocents. We saw the graves. Even in the New, psychopath Herod tries to kill Jesus and murders all the babies. Why would he do that? It's Satan. Satan wanted to destroy the Messiah before he could ever come. Good news, though. He couldn't do it. And Jesus laid his life down for you and for me. Nobody could take his life. He willingly gave his life. And for all who believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, they shall be saved, redeemed from the cursed, washed by the blood, redeemed. Names written in the Lamb's book of life. Come on, the head, not the tail, the lender, not the borrower. Come on, you're the redeemed of the Lord. Can I get an amen in the house of God? Can I get a better amen? That's what it's about. So it's too late now. He tried to destroy the Messiah, tried to destroy human beings. The residue of this pagan thought, and this whole next section is interesting. I learned from my pastor, Dr. James Morocco. You see this type of thing take place. Of course, at the Tower of Babel, and I've preached that before, we're going to get to that soon, where it's this ziggurat, this tower that goes to the heavens. The idea on top of that tower is that they would bring a union between demon power and man. And you see in South America, you see in different places, the same kind of rituals taking place. And you see in Japan, the emperor would go, and I think they still do it today, that the emperor would go out into a rice paddy that's specifically designed in this hut to have union with the sun god. So you see, even from Genesis 6 all the way through the residue in our culture, this mankind trying to get supernatural power by another means other than God. God will give you supernatural power, but if you try to get supernatural power through witchcraft or through demons, you're going to end up dead. And you'll destroy yourself. God releases power, but he does it receiving glory and honor to his name and his name alone. He still heals the sick. He still raises the dead. He still does miracles, but he does it through people. He does it through people who give glory to God. That's why, listen close, that's why when you see miracle power being put on display through somebody who does not give glory to God, it's from the pit of hell. Any spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus as Lord is not of God. It's the acid test. So just because you see miracle power through somebody doesn't mean it's from God. But the devil comes like an angel of light, and you need to be aware of that. I've known many people who've yielded to that and turned their life aside. You can walk in power with God. He will not share glory with anybody, though. What's God saying to us? Well, first thing is be wise. The enemy's strategy. Matthew 24, just as in the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The unholy trinity is that Satan is a picture of the Father. The Antichrist is a picture of the false Christ. And then, of course, you have the false prophet who's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And everything is creaming in our culture to the setting up of Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And because you're here, I'm here. Come on, somebody. Much of our culture is oblivious to it and continuing to just endorse things that are not of God. I'm so thrilled by different states that are beginning to endorse what the gender is. When you're born, that's your gender. It's the same thing that's happening as in the days of Noah. The same thing is happening. And please, I'm going to say it again. Do not. I warn you as your pastor, please listen to me. Do not go on some crazy study of Nephilim and go look up all kinds of stuff and try to figure out exactly what's happening. Because here's what I found happen. It has a hook that comes from the devil, and it'll set in your jaw. And I've known people that have been led astray by an overemphasis of the end times, an overemphasis of the Antichrist, an overemphasis of the things of darkness, and they lose their joy. They no longer win souls. They're no longer walking with God and in peace. They've just become just creepers. Oh, the end time. Stop. I've known people that have just been like so focused on the return of Christ. Live like he's coming in the next 30 seconds. Plan like he's not coming in your life. Get in your lifetime. Be filled with joy. Walk with God. Love God. Pray. Bind. Loose. Give. Lay hands on the sick. Come on, somebody. Don't be all bound up in this tweaker mentality. Oh, it's end time. What are we going to do? It's the Antichrist. Live under your bed the rest of your life praying in tongues. That's not what we should do. We should take over. We should take over the educational system. We should take over government. We should take over the arts. We should take over entertainment. We should take over the high places in it. Come on! That's what we should do. By the power of the name of Jesus, can you say amen? Pop my collar, make me want to holler. Come on, somebody. All right. Yes. Hey, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your plan, God. I just want to thank you. Oh, I needed those keys. Thank you, son. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place. Just want to thank you for your master plan. Just want to thank you for making me just as I am. Want to thank you for redeeming me, washing me, cleansing me, making me whole. Making me whole. I just want to thank you for setting me free. I want to thank you for washing me. I want to thank you. Want to thank you. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, presence of the Lord. As it was in the days of Noah, so it'll be. You go look at history. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 as I endeavor to land this plane. Take communion here in a moment. You look into history and really started with a GI Bill all those many, many years ago, infiltrated our nation in the 1960s, and free love wasn't love and it wasn't free, and how all this perversion just began to enter into our country like never before, the destruction of the home. It used to be shows like Father Knows Best. Now they make him out to be an idiot. And you see the destruction of the family, and you see how enemies just moved in. Music. The Beatles. Wildly famous, bringing in all kinds of perversion and bringing in all kinds of false religion. Polluting our country. And it just went on and on and on, and the casting off of restraint. Professors in universities, professors in Christian universities, teaching our children who go to Christian schools who aren't even Christian, and they're actually against the word. And they sow and they weave their web Dungeons and Dragons, and now it's thing that Dungeons and Dragons is seemingly harmless, right? But it had this dark edge to it. And now, oh, you don't even want to know. Some of you do know. Some of you need to turn it off. Some of you need to get rid of that game. Having these devices that just pollute our homes. We need a great awakening, people. I said we need as in need air. You need air. You need water. We need a great awakening. Otherwise, we will cease to exist. And I'm so glad God's not given up on America yet. He's put a fire in my heart for America. He's put a fire in your belly too. And he's raising up a people who will not back off, who won't shut up, who won't quit, who won't stop. Not a smooth-kneed, apathetic church, a fiery church that'll stand and decree and proclaim, that'll live it, preach it, declare it, say it, unapologetically. Before God and his angels, before Satan and his demons. There is a plan to usher in the Antichrist. I would highly advise you go after God in this hour of history. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means. But that day will not come unless a falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself to be that he is God. It's talking about the Antichrist, and it's talking about deception that wants to come. Choose to live holy. Would you say that? Choose to live holy. Say, make it personal. I choose to live holy. Say it again. I choose to live holy. Somebody said, well, it's so hard. No, you know what hard is? Hard is the way of the transgressor. You know what hard is? Hard is living away from God. Hard is living a life of compromise. That's hard. You know what's awesome? Lying down at night, having peace, hearing God, hearing angels, hearing music from heaven. You know what's glorious? Having authority, having dominion. You know what's beautiful? You know what's awesome? Living rightly related to God and letting his power flow through you to change the world, to change your family. You don't have to be cursed. You don't have to be broken. You can be healed. You can be free. You can be delivered. You can walk in purity. You can walk in holiness. Come on, God before you. Who can be against you? Can I get an amen? God, you got to guard your heart. Philippians 4, I'm almost done. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Where is he? He's near. Don't be anxious about everything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let me stop and say this. If you give yourself to worry and concern and fear, you open up your life, guard. You guard your life by prayer. You expose your life or have no guard over your heart. When you worry, when you give yourself to anxiety, it's like faith in reverse. You want to see the enemy magnified? Start worrying more. Start being anxious more and allow for your heart to be opened up for the enemy to strike you. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned, received from me, or have seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Almost done. Develop godly relationships. Some of your counselors or someone who smokes a pack a day, lives like the devil, and they're the ones you go and get wisdom from. You want to tell me in what world, in what realm does that make sense? Smoke so much weed, don't even know if they're high or not high. And you go and get counsel from them. What do you think I should? Why would you even ask anybody that doesn't have a victorious life? Talk to your auntie twice removed. What do you think I should do?
Well, I don't think you should be going to that church anyway, that church on the hill. My God, you see how much money they spent? $5 million on that.
Oh, that's a great person to get counsel from. You dumb as a box of rocks. Get counsel and wisdom from somebody who's walking it, from somebody who's walking in victory, walking in peace. Then there's somebody who's got a healthy marriage and healthy kids. Come on, I know the enemy prowls around, but you got to get wisdom. You got to get counsel. You must develop godly relationships. Where? Right here. I know a bunch of people that live for God right here. Oh, a bunch of hypocrites in church. Well, of course there are. You're here. Of course. Where else should a hypocrite go? And I said it before, thanks to David. David shared this with me, our brother David Pearson. He said, it's like going to the gym. Be like, I can't believe these people are out of shape. My gosh. What are they even lifting weights for? What are they even, look at that. Clearly 30 to 40% body fat. My God. Don't you think somebody who's going to get in shape should go to a place where they can get in shape? Of course we've got hypocrites. Your cars ought to be locked right now because we have people here who still steal. Amen. But soon, we pray, they receive Jesus. They get baptized with the fire of the Holy Ghost. They get set free. And the things that they used to do, they do no more. Come on, no more longer carousing, no longer drinking, no longer. Come on, there's elevation and lift that comes to a society that receives the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They get redeemed and it changes everything. That's why America needs revival. Develop godly relationships. Say it. I will develop godly relationships. Couple more points. Focus on the kingdom. Can you say focus on the kingdom? Don't focus on darkness. Do not be enticed to go and search out some of these things that are a little ambiguous. You don't need to. Go after God. Go after God. Everything you need to know, I believe, I've just told you. So just, wow, that's creepy. Let's serve God. Amen. All right, God is merciful. Ushers, would you come and wait to serve, please? God is merciful, but now is the time of salvation. He gives 120 years to repent. It's the church's greatest time. I said it's the church's greatest time.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.